To me, worship is breathing.
To me, worship is a lifestyle.
Anything we do that says to God, you are God.
And worship is what you do when you go out into the community, when you're around your friends.
Me wanting to be what he wants me to be.
Adoration.
Aside from prayer, worship is my high-speed connection to God.
Worship is about our heart when we bring it to him. When I'm truly worshiping, my heart is overcome with thankfulness.
I am vulnerable.
I'm completely engulfed. I'm completely in tune to God.
You just speak to God with the lyrics, the words, and God speaks back to you.
I want it to be from me.
I want to abandon all modesty and just worship my God.
God can have a personal experience and worship everyone in that room.
And so it's almost like a conversation with God, almost a prayer.
When I worship, I want God to be magnified.
When I worship, I want God to be pleased.
I want God to be front and center.
I want God to laugh with me.
I want God to be happy.
When I worship, I want God to be lifted up.
I want there to be a knowing that Crystal came and she brought all of her and she was sincere.
I want him to be exalted.
I want him to be in the spotlight. I want him to be the focus. I want him to have the rightful place that only he deserves in my life.
When I worship, I want God to be my friend.
And I want him to know how thankful and grateful I am for all the things that he's done for me.
I want him to feel the joy that is in my heart because I'm so grateful to him.
Because he sent his son to die for me.
Let's stand together as we enter into worship, and let's pray for a moment, and then the guys will lead us and remain standing. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the privilege we have this morning of being in your presence. Wow. To think the God of the universe invites us to a front row seat where he is in splendor and majesty. We come into your presence aware of our need and aware of all of the issues in our lives, but those just don't matter when we're with you, because your power and your grace is so overwhelming. And so we give you praise from the depth of our being. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God. Above it all, hallelujah, God. Unshakable, hallelujah. You have done great things. Every cat and bring every chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things, oh God. You have done great things.
To God. Thank you. That's so slow. This will be faster. Great things he had done,
so loved he the world that he gave us his son.
He lived his life
and atonement for sin, and opened the floodgate that all may know him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come
to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, work and redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer a promise of God. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
So come
to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Taught us great things he has done, and great your rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
But nobler and higher and greater will be
our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
So come to the Father
through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Your rich in love, and Your soul to anger. Your name is ring, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to love. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I will worship Your holy name. Oh, I will worship Your holy name.
Well, good morning, sisters and brothers.
Good morning.
You may be seated. So isn't it good to be together this morning?
Yeah.
So you guys are getting good at your responses. Are strong. And as you know, this is our prayer time. And so one of the things that the pastor and myself are having a conversation about is that we're going... Thank you, Mr. Clayton. We are going to pray for our brothers and sisters on the mission field. And really specifically, the ones who have come out of the Rockville Church of the Nazarene. Many of you have known the mans who were here for many, many years, and I think the photographs should show up at some point. And so we're praying specifically for Doug and Judy Mann, and they have Doug and Jennifer. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of apologize. And so they're in Switzerland, and they are, you know, presenting the gospel, and they're doing a lot of good work. And as you know, with Doug, with Merit Man. That's part of his ministry. He has retired thus far, but he has been a pillar in doing missions, not only coming out of this church, but for the denomination. So look around this room. People do some amazing, amazing things. And not just to talk about the man's, we have Jennifer Moore, who's in North Macedonia, who's a student here in Sunday school, which I taught her for 1 year before she went away. And so that's a tremendous thing. We've also had members of our congregation do stuff locally. I know that Eva Wilson has testified at Congress years ago for Liberia, and your son, I'm looking at the Demerges as well, also testified at Congress. And so that's part of the mission, and that is who we are.
Amen.
And as you pray, think about how God speaks in your life, how God is calling you to a mission.
Amen.
And just let God speak into your heart as we also think about these other issues that are before us, like Afghanistan and Haiti. So in this tender moment, let's bow our heads and let us pray together. In the name of God, the infinitely good, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate, to whom all praises due, we're here this morning, like the beautiful video said earlier, to worship you in the totality of our being. Use every aspect of our heart, our soul, and our minds to bring praise to you this morning. Father God, we love you, we honor you, and we give you our hearts, and we just ask you for your righteousness to prevail upon us all. Help us to bear witness to your holiness, and most of all, help us to make the world see who you truly are, a loving and compassionate God. And Father God, in this time, as we pray, we lift up the people of Haiti who are going through so much. There's been an earthquake where 2,000 lives have been lost. There has been political unrest, and for those of us who come from the global south, we look to Haiti as the country that was among the first republics in the Americas, and we esteem them greatly. And Father God, we just ask that you lift them up from the great poverty, the great political division, but most of all, heal their bodies as they try to recover from the earthquake. And Lord, we ask the Nazarenes that are in Haiti right now to use this opportunity to minister and testify who God truly is.
Amen.
And Father God, we know Haitians within our denominations, the Haitians that are in Haiti right now, we stand in solidarity with them. We lift them up and use us in any way that you see fit to make things right in Haiti. And Father God, just heal their bodies. And Lord, we also lift up the people of Afghanistan. As we know that they're persecuting Christians and they're persecuting people who think differently than they do. And Father God, we pray for your mercy, but we also pray for your comfort in these really troubling times. And we pray for your protection. It is not easy to flee from your home. And Father God, even in the Bible, Jesus himself had to flee because of a king's decree, and you protected him. And Father God, we just ask you to lend your protection to those who are seeking shelter from repression. And we as Christians, let us continue to pray and stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and in many parts of the world where there is hunger, where there is political strife. Father God, we ask for your mercy in these moments. And also, Father God, we just thank you for the way that you answer prayers. And Lord, there have been afflictions within our congregation, and you spoke. You heal bodies, you transform minds, and we just give you thanks for that. We specifically pray for my son, who had a good progress in terms of him no longer needing water. We just thank you for the people who reached out and prayed for our family. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for all the people who shared their love. And also, we lift up Kathleen. Today is a very special day. We love her, we honor her, we know that she's also recovering and going through physical therapy. And Lord, not only do we want to see her walk, we want to see her dance. Use our whole body. And Father God, it's good to laugh and praise God for all that he's done. The powerful witness of her life, the way that she speaks your mercy to the people that are around in the community that she serves. lives. We also lift up Donna as she's also recovering as well, and continue to minister to her heart, to her mind, and continue to dispense those gifts that you have lavished upon her. We also lift up Miriam as she's also part of the ministry, as we know that she's recovering from cancer. But most of all, she is a servant of God who believes that ministries have no borders. And Father God, in this time, we lift up her ministry with her and her husband, and we just ask you to anoint her for your purposes so that people can come and know who you are and enter into the kingdom saved, free from sin. And that is what the missions are all about. So in this time, as you pray, and I've said a whole lot, praise God right now as you are. Pray for someone who's on your heart. Pray for a burden that you're currently carrying. In these tender moments, oh God, we ask you to continue to speak to us. Continue to be a part of our lives. Not only answer to prayer, but be among us as we live our lives and bear witness to your goodness, Father God. May the communities know who you are by the way that we declare that you are Lord. But most of all, may we as a people always surrender our hearts to you. And as a family, all God's people say, Amen. You may remain seated.
Well, you heard Funa mention it. Today's a special day for Kathleen. He didn't say what it was, but I'm going to tell it. It's her birthday today. Would you guys help me sing happy birthday to her?
Sure. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Kathleen. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Cut the cake. Where's the cake?
No,
okay. You guys want to sing with us?
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, thou wonderful.
grace draw near and bless your name. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name.
Amen. That's great, boy. A wonderful cross. I appreciate that so much that we have that together, and it unites us and draws us in and makes us one through the cross of Christ and the life that He gives for us. Been preaching on how to have a happy home, how to have happy relationships and blessed relationships. And so this morning we're going to continue. You'll remember that one of the things I've been saying consistently with us is that we come into relationships with expectations and with hopes and dreams. You bring your hopes and dreams, and I bring my hopes and dreams. And we come in together to this. But there's a relationship that we need to think about first, and it doesn't have directly anything to do, it seems at first, with each other. It's this relationship to God. And this relationship to God, and I want you to look at this verse because it's such a foundational verse. I would hope that you would memorize it. In fact, I'm going to ask you in a moment or two to read it with me. But this verse tells us that God has given us everything we need to live a holy life. Everything we need to live a godly life. Everything we need to live a life that pleases God, God gives to us. So you start out saying, how will I ever do it? How will I overcome sin? How will I overcome temptation? How will I know that I'm going to heaven? How will I have confidence? How will I trust in God? How will I grow in my faith? What do I need to be doing? Well, all of that, God's power has given us. It's given to us. It's ours. I was thinking about the word abide and abiding. You know, abide is a great word, isn't it? It means to stay, to be there. You could always count, when I was a kid, when we go play in the streets, we could count on our parents abiding at home. When we come home, we count on our parents being there, right? I'll never forget a Family Circus cartoon I saw many years ago, where one of the little ones, and remember the Family Circus is all these little kids and mom and dad, and one of these little kids is answering the phone, and he said, no one's here except for dad, my brothers, and my sisters. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, mom's not here. You count on mom to abide, right? Wherever mom is home. Well, in Christ, we have God's presence abiding with us. Learn to rest and trust and have confidence in His abiding presence. He abides with us. He's given us everything we need. This is the Holy Spirit. Read it with me out loud if you would, okay? God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. Let's do it again. God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. Now we need the address, and the address is 2 Peter 1:3, or 2 Peter 1:3. Let's do it together again, okay? God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. Now here's what I want to say to you. This is foundational. If you understand foundations, you know that the foundation is what goes under the ground. Many times a building will take us long to build from the ground up, as it does from the ground down in laying the foundation. And the foundation is what holds everything else secure. It may not be visible, but it is always there to keep strong the building. We've seen the horrific collapse of a building in Florida. And what are they saying to us? The foundation, the platform on which the swimming pool apparently was built collapsed, and then that collapsed the foundation and the whole thing comes down. Well, that's an illustration to us of this foundational truth we need. I'm going to take a moment and put my windscreen on this microphone. If I put it on when I have the mask on, I lose it. So I have to wait till I take my mask off to put it on. So this foundational truth works this way. You settle in your heart that God is good. Now, life isn't good. Remember, I've talked to you about weddings are easy, marriages are hard. Amen. Life, weddings are easy, marriages are hard. Life is easy. It's living it that's hard. And God wants us to live it, and it takes work, it takes effort, it takes a commitment. So here's the commitment. I receive by faith all that is needed is provided. I believe it before I see it, before it feels like it's true, before I see evidence of it. I don't wait for evidence. I launch out knowing that God is going to do what is good and right in my life. And so you can work from that basis, that foundational truth, all that we need for a godly life, God has given to us. I can give you back to the illustrations of my own spiritual formation where I felt like all of life was tough and all of life wasn't making sense as I adjusted to the American culture, as I lived on my own from the age of 15. And it just was a battle, an uphill battle to try to understand all of the changes. You know, in adolescence, 15-year-olds, if you remember back to that time, a lot of turmoil, physical changes as well as social, relational changes, dynamics that were incredible. And I had to every night come back to this truth that God is good and God is true and He will get me through. God is good and God is true and He will get me through. I have to hang on to that. I remember I used an illustration. I didn't think it was very effective at the time, but I talked about the bear. Remember when the bear has you in its mouth and it's tossing you around? You're just saying what? Lord, if you just let me live, you know, I could put up with any injury, any loss, but if I just get to live. And that sometimes is the way we have to approach it with God. We have to say, right now, there's nothing in my life I like, or there's very little in my life that I see as a blessing or as good or as great, but I trust you.
Yes.
You are the source. You're the light. And really, at that point, you have nothing else to turn to. I mean, your friends abandon you. You lose your health. You lose your job. You lose your economy. But whatever it is, you hang on to God.
Amen.
He not only will get you through, He will give you all you need to live a godly life. So this is where we're at in whatever relationship. You can think of it in terms of your relationship to the church, to your family, to your spouse, broken relationships, past relationships. God will give you everything you need to live a godly life in terms of your relationships to others. And that's the dimension we're talking about in this month of August. And so in this approach, I come to you and you come to church with hopes, dreams, and desires. You have this box, right, full of hopes, dreams, and desires. You can imagine in the box in marriage, for example, it's where you're going to live and what kind of life you're going to have and the order of your life and hopes and dreams that you have maybe for a future or hopes and dreams for the way you want to be treated and respected, and I'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. But what happens is you come with your box and I come with my box and we bump into each other and the boxes crash, right? They clash with each other. I was thinking about expectations, and people come to church with expectations as well, don't we? When Marcia and I started pastoring, our first pastor, we had 13 board members. Now that's at least three times bigger than a board ought to be, but they believed that you had one member from each family represent on the board. And six out of those 13 were over the age of 75. I was 28 years old. That's a big gap. In fact, one of the pieces in that gap, if you think about it, are their children and their grandchildren coming along. Well, so we go to Christmas time. I don't know if it was the first year or the second year. They had a tradition of giving out bags of candy at the Christmas service to all the children. The parents would say to me, They get out the candy. Our kids eat it all at church before they get home, and then they're hyper all afternoon. They won't take their naps. They won't settle down, and it's gone. You know, the candy's gone before we even get home. So Marcia and I said, well, we ought to be giving something Christian, something religious, like a Christian book or a Bible for kids that don't have a children's Bible, or coloring pages for younger ones that are Christian. And so I went to the board with this great idea. I thought they'd be all in favor of it. One dear old 75-year-old man, and believe me, he was a dear man that I deeply loved. But he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, when I was in the fourth grade, now he's 78 years old at this point, okay? When I was in the fourth grade, they gave me an apple instead of a candy, and I'd still rather have the candy. We ran into their expectations. Their expectations were different than ours. And I think it was the next year we did manage to give something that was a little bit religious or symbolic or meaningful for children rather than just candy. My point is, we come with expectations. Maybe you expected candy this morning. I'm sorry to disappoint you. There is no candy in the building that I know of. So it's just going to be that way. We come with expectations and we feel let down, don't we? Frustrated when we don't get our expectations. It's really kind of an interesting thing. Most of us have never stopped to think about what we're used to, and until something different happens than what we expected. Yeah. Then all of a sudden the light goes on, right? I didn't expect it that way. I didn't expect that. And how we deal with our unmet expectations is a big issue. And many times we have to take those broken dreams or those broken hopes or those expectations that aren't met to God. Amen. We just have to say, Lord, I don't know why. I don't like it. Help me. Help me. Help me get through. I understand that. We all live at times in our lives in those kinds of desert, dry places. And we just hang on to God through that time. Now, in that process, when we have these expectations, and in relationships, the expectations become, it's not advancing from my screen, so if you guys would help me, I'd appreciate it. When these expectations become oughts, you owe me, you didn't do it, I feel cheated, you left me out, you overlooked me, why don't you? Those kinds of expectations where you owe me begin to kill the relationship. Because you see, when you owe me, then I'm holding out, I'm demanding, I'm expecting, and you're going to have to come through. And remember, I've talked about it several times, I hope it's becoming clear to you, that when I have this expectation and it goes unmet, and I'm demanding it, and you owe me, the only thing you can do if you give in is bring me back to zero. You met my expectation. How much better than zero would be if we just surrender our expectations and consider everything we get a blessing? We begin to see the other one as not someone who owes us, but someone whom we owe and then love, and serving God in our relationships in that way. So in this exchange, when someone wins, the relationship loses. When I make my demands and finally beat you over and get you to do it my way,